Okay, welcome to a special edition of the Groups Matter podcast. We have a special edition because Brian was actually able to get some time with the Kendrick Brothers, the makers of some of the most incredible Christian films in the last decade. Brian, what movies have they made?
Yeah, I was able to catch up on Alex and Steven. They were in town for one of our chapel services and probably a lot of other things. And for those of you that don't know, their first movie was Flywheel, and they did Facing the Giants. That was their first theatrical, I believe, theatrical release. And then Fireproof, and with every one of these, their audience has grown, and the production quality, you've seen that change. And then Courageous was their last one, and so their next movie, War Room, releases August 28th, a coming Friday. And so they were in town, and I was able to talk with them about just how they prepare, all the prayer that goes into creating these movies and their devotion to their craft, and as well as a little bit about War Room. And Priscilla Shire and Beth Moore, two of our authors, Beth is more of a cameo, but Priscilla doesn't just make a cameo. She is a central character.
So your interview with them, I mean, it was strong. I got to listen to it before we got into this conversation. If you were going to prepare a person to listen to this interview, why don't you just do that to lead into it? Why don't you just tell us a little bit about the interview, what you felt when you were doing it, what you hoped to get out of them when you were doing it?
Well, I'm a movie guy, and I just think a lot of Alex and Steven, like most people I'm sure do, but they're just guys. I mean, it's somewhat inspiring. You know, they were two guys at a church. They felt a calling. I'm sure they worked with their pastor, Michael Catt, and said, hey, you know, this is something that we feel led to do. What do you think about supporting us? And Michael said, yeah, let's do it. And so they did the first one. I think it was a straight to video. And, you know, they're filmmakers now. I mean, in every sense of the word, and successful ones, doing unapologetic, faith-based, I would say evangelical movies. And I will say that, I mean, in every movie I've seen, there have been magical movie moments. I mean, they are good filmmakers. And so War Room, you know, most movies, Steven says in the interview, every movie is a sermon of some kind. So all their movies have real strong overtones, whether it's integrity or fireproofing your marriage or what it takes to be a courageous man, you know, in the family. So War Room is focusing on prayer. And I don't know much about the storyline. I'm sure you can go to IMDb. I'm one of the only people at Lifeway, it seems like, that has not seen the movie. But so it's about the prayer room in your house is your war room. So that's what I would say, you know, to someone listening to the interview, just to be aware of, that's what's going on in War Room. And they're going to talk more about that. You'll see.
Well, I would say at this point, whoever is listening to this podcast is going, well, let them talk. So why don't we jump right in to the interview you had
with them? That's what I did. All right, we are here with Alex and Stephen Kendrick. And just for you guys that maybe are not aware, these are the guys that are responsible for movies like Flywheel, Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Courageous, and the soon-to-be-released War Room coming August 28th. So we hope everyone will go to the theater because opening weekend, as I understand it, is a huge deal.
Go see it. Your mother called.
So as we get started.
Take your small group.
I just want to take this opportunity for the record to say I love Flywheel.
Oh, good.
I do. I know it's the first one. We showed that at our church. We had a room at the end night, and that was the movie. That was the first time. That was my first introduction to what you guys do.
Us too.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
I love the journey of Jay Austin. I just thought, yep. I love, and every one of them since then, I just love what you guys do.
That was definitely a five loaves and two fish movie. We had little to nothing. But the Lord has taken it and taken it to the nations. It's been incredible.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Let's start here. Now, I have not heard you guys talk about this directly, and certainly have not asked you about it up until this point. But what I've been able to pick up just in the hallways here at Lifeway and talking to the people is this enormous preparation that goes into not just the production side, but on just how you prepare your hearts and minds, all the way from the cast to the crew to everyone involved, and what goes into that. So,
yep, you know there are some movies that are made, and after they're made, the makers beg God to sprinkle His blessings on them. I'm not saying that's a terrible prayer, We start the reverse. We say, God, what movie do you want us to make? And we wait for him to answer, and we pray that and pray that and pray that.
And that's sometimes a year and a half to 2 years away.
That's right. But, you know, our greatest asset is the favor of God. You know, there is nothing you can give us that we want more than that, because if his hand's on it and he's guiding it, then no telling what can happen. And so,
God's ideas are infinitely better than ours.
That's right. But the difference between a good idea and a God idea. So we want God's ideas. And I don't say that facetiously. And so we begin praying. We lay the groundwork in prayer first. God, what do you want us to do? We wait and we seek him. And when he begins prompting us in a certain direction, we start going in that direction. And it's usually not the direction we thought we were going to go. Because we don't have a problem coming up with ideas. We're not short on ideas. And so the Lord will say, hey, you're going to talk about lordship or faith or unconditional love or being a spiritual leader in your home, as Courageous was. And right now it's the power of prayer for War Room. And so it starts with that. We start doing research. And start coming up with scenes and plot ideas. You start stringing those together. We line our walls with all these postcards of all these scene ideas and start looking for direction on how does it come together. And then we interview people. And then once we have the plot in place that's still moldable, Stephen and I go scouting. We start casting people. When we cast people, we find the people for the roles, and we ask them this very important question. Is there anything in your life that would prevent God from blessing your work on this movie?
And we've had people back out because right. they may be a great actor or actress, but spiritually they're not ready to handle the double-edged sword of filmmaking. Yeah, I tell people, James chapter 3 says that be careful, because if you're going to be a teacher or influencer of theology to other people, you're held to a higher standard.
That's right.
And a movie is basically a visual sermon.
That's
and
right.
And you're communicating theology. Every movie is preaching a sermon, whether the filmmakers admit it or not.
Yeah.
But it's communicating values about life, about God, about what's right, about what's wrong. And so we recognize that. We admit it. And we want to communicate biblical truth and the gospel in a great way. But those people are given international platforms. And if they become a stumbling block by the decisions that they make, by the other movies that they're in, then they could lead a generation astray. And so it's very important to us that they believe in the message of the film and are actively seeking the Lord in their personal lives.
And you certainly want capable actors.
Sure.
But that's secondary to their walk with God. And again, we're not looking for perfect people, because there are none. We're looking for people that seek a genuine walk with God and can act competently. So after casting, we shoot it for about 3 months.
Right.
3 months of editing after that, and scoring, and, you know, adding the color enhancements, things like that, special effects if there are any. And then you mark it for up to 6 months before the movie's released. So it's a long process, and that's why we don't make a movie every year. And basically, whenever we do a movie, it's a year and a half of our life. And so I'm not going to give a year and a half of my life to anything that I hadn't prayed through.
Well, and you mentioned about spiritual preparation. You know, anybody could stand up who's a filmmaker and tell you about the process of casting and shooting and production and those things. But one thing that that we're very mindful of is the way you spiritually pray and the way you spiritually prepare should be impacted by how we know the devil is going to attack. And so we've learned with every film that he's going to try to divide the team. He'll try to divide us from our wives. He'll try to distract us to secondary things. He wants us to quit abiding in the vine ourselves because we're so busy and not spend time with the Lord. He wants us to, you know, he wants to discourage you during those hard times. And he'll attack you with a weird sickness at specific times, right when you need to be on your best game. You know, he'll want to keep you up all night arguing or worrying about something so that you're not functioning in, you know, coherently. So we try to, on the front end, pray towards unity. We do Bible studies every day on the set because we know that we're in spiritual warfare.
And that's our answer to your first question.
All right. All right.
That's right.
So walk us up to
War
Room.
Number two.
How soon after Courageous did you guys start this process?
Courageous came out in 2011, and it was about 6 months after that we started praying again earnestly, God, what do you want us to do? And it was at the end of 2012 that we began feeling prompted to call, you know, people back to prayer, specifically had a fight in prayer. So that was back in 2012. And then over the 2013, Stephen and I were interviewing numerous people and seeking counsel on how to fight in prayer. What are the biblical tools, and doing biblical research, and just, you know, prep time. And then 2014, we cast, scout, and shot the movie. And we
finished most of the editing was done in 2014.
Yep. And then 2015, we finished the remaining pieces of post-production, the last special effects and color correction and sound enhancements and score and all those things were done in late March, early April.
Right.
And so then since then, you talk about it, promote it, and let people know about it.
Okay, so just to run through the themes, we started off with what I would call integrity with Flywheel, and then you went with facing the giants and the giants of our life and how we confront those. Take the love dare, be courageous, and step up and be a part of the resolution. Now, War Room, you're turning your attention to prayer. So I think our listeners and I would like to hear a little bit about the movie. Releases August 28th. We'll talk in a minute about how groups can play a part in this, but tell us about War Room, and I think it'd be interesting to know how you came about with a couple of your casting decisions that are of local variety and interest.
Well, Alex and I grew up in a praying home. We saw incredible answers to prayer in our parents' lives. We've been attending a praying church at Sherwood. Our pastor has been beating the drum year after year on the importance of prayer, how vital it is in our lives. Alex and I, with every film, because we didn't go to film school, we've had to pray in the resources and pray for God to help guide all those decisions concerning how to make movies, because every movie has been an incredible learning curve for us of faith. You know, it's that Indiana Jones stepping out over nothing thing. Lord, this is what you've called us to do, you know? And he has just laid tracks in front of the moving train. And so that has been huge for us. But we believe that if the church doesn't recommit itself to prayer, then we're in huge trouble. All the great awakenings, the nation was heading in a bad direction, and believers rallied in prayer, and extraordinary prayer is the phrase that was used by Jonathan Edwards. It's above and beyond. It's we're planning extra times to get together, and sometimes it's 8 to 10 to 12 years of extraordinary prayer before God sent his Holy Spirit in power and showed up and rocked the nation. So we need to think long term here. This isn't just watch a movie, War Room, and ramp up your prayer life with a prayer sermon series for 6 weeks and then go back to usual. We hope that there'll be a new normal as a result of this film, that people are devoting themselves like that church in Acts did repeatedly, and saying prayer is now going to become an intensive part of everything that we do.
There's an analogy that we've recently picked up where prayer must be the steering wheel that drives everything you do, not the spare tire that you pull out whenever you're in a crisis. And some of us are treating prayer like that. Oh, there's a crisis, and so God, where are you? And we're meant to go to the Lord first, to acknowledge him first. He says in James 4:8, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He says in Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with all your heart. God wants that relationship. And what does Scripture say in the New Testament over and over and over? Be devoted to prayer. So it takes work. It takes discipline. And it's not something that brings a lot of selfish pleasure. It's not something that's entertaining, but it's something that's crucial.
Your flesh is in opposition to the things of the Spirit of God. It says in Galatians 5. And so God's Spirit's leading us to pray. But if you think about it, your flesh is going to be raging against that. It's like, this is a waste of time, or I need to go do something else, or I'm uncomfortable on my knees, or I've got a to-do list of things I need to go jump in. Or is God really listening to me? Does he care about this? All those things that are coming out of your own heart and that the enemy is filling in your mind will cause us to get up and go do something else and not devote ourselves to prayer. But consistently in Scripture, you see that battles that are fought in prayer first are victorious. It's Joshua on his knees getting the Lord's strategy before he takes on Jericho. It's Esther calling the people to 3 days of prayer and fasting before she goes before the king. It's Jesus praying all night before he chooses his 12 disciples. We have to make prayer first base rather than third base.
And so all these leaders listening to this podcast, when you think about the groups that you are over, it would be wise, a very wise move, to pray as much as you do discuss the topic of the day, to spend time going before the Lord with all the issues, with praise, with adoration, with even confession, and going to the Lord and spending that time in prayer. You will never regret time in prayer. And if there's one thing the enemy doesn't want you doing, it's praying. So
I would challenge small group leaders. read the book of Acts at, because a lot of times it was groups that were meeting in churches. They were calling it a church, but it was the size of your small group at your church. And so read how many times they recommitted themselves to pray and look at how God was showing up in power. And so one thing that we communicate in War Room and that we do in our own lives is I would challenge you with your small group at your church, start writing down specific prayer requests and praying over them. God will answer some of them immediately, right away, within 24 hours. Some of them, it'll be days or weeks. Some will be years because God's timing is perfect. But as George Mueller said, don't let yesterday's seemingly unanswered prayers stop you from praying in faith today, knowing that God is on it. But it gives you an opportunity as a group to see God is alive and well. And if you're not seeing answer to prayer in your group, then you need to say, do we really know Christ as our Lord and Savior? Because he's the mediator between us and God. Secondly, do we have sin or bitterness in our hearts? Because those things hinder our prayer lives.
Yeah, on the show, we've talked in terms of a prayer being not an event, but a posture. I think too often we make prayer a segment of life instead of what, instead of something that feeds life or is an outpouring of our internal life.
That's right.
All right. So on the nature of groups, how can groups, now the movie releases, I suspect that the movie could be and could be something that we're hoping would, and I think you've already mentioned it, Stephen, that would spin these groups into a greater prayer life.
Yes.
What are some ways that groups can, you expect groups to engage the movie War Room?
Well, if they go see it in the theater, we hope they'll go see it with people that they need to be praying with, you know, in the future. They want to be praying with husbands and wives seeing it together. I tell people when you get married, God gives you a permanent prayer partner for life. And so, but with your small group, with your family, with your church going to see it. And then on multiple levels, we need to recommit ourselves individually to being people of prayer. You know, you need to create your own prayer room where you're spending time with the Lord and that you're getting up earlier, you're staying up late or whatever works for you, that you're engaging God. Then as a couple, you begin to pray at the beginning of the week or you're praying through issues and crisis together as a couple, as families praying together and recording God's answers, as small groups, you're praying for one another. We need, if you read in Romans 12, when it's outlining really a blueprint of how the church needs to operate, it mentions being devoted in prayer in the midst of the functionality of the body of Christ. And then corporately, churches need to be launching prayer ministries. They need to be saying, and the prayer ministry's job is not to do all the praying. The prayer ministry's job is to equip all the church and organize and facilitate the whole rest of the church. And they keep beating that drum saying prayer's a priority. How can we plan another prayer event? How can we fast on this day together and pray about these big issues that are going on in our culture? I believe that our elections would be different if believers would start praying. We would have a whole lot less ministers falling morally if believers would start praying. I tell people, if you want a better pastor, start praying for the one you've got. Let God change his heart. You know, our sermons, our worship, our unity, our evangelism, everything is going to be impacted when we ramp up praying and doing it first. It is the wind in the sails of every ministry of every church.
So come up with a prayer strategy. You know, you have a you have a strategy for your finances. You have a strategy for maybe your health. You have a strategy for your kids' education. Come up with a prayer strategy. How can you pray over your spouse, your children? How can you pray for your church? And for example, how do I pray for my family right now? I'm praying for my children out of James chapter 1 that God would give them wisdom and that their hearts would be turned to the Lord and they would embrace that discernment. I pray Psalm 91 that God would protect them. He would protect them physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally from evil scars or anything that might hurt them. I pray Psalm 19, 9 through 18, that God would help them to keep their heart pure. Psalm 51, that he would create in them a clean heart, that they would seek after and yearn after the Lord, then want to stay away from evil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you can pray scripture over your family. But so someone says, how are you praying for a certain person, your pastor, that he would take his role as the leader of the flock seriously and not for vainglory, not just for a platform for him, but that he would yearn to see people grow spiritually and that he would stay clean before the Lord and usable. And then all the way up to we're commanded to pray for our leaders from the president, governor, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if I say, how are you praying for you leaders, even listening to this podcast, how are you praying in those areas of your life, children, wife, those that you're over in your prayer groups, how are you praying with them and pastor, leaders, etc. I mean, you can just go on and on. And there's so many things to pray about. It's almost like, man, I have a hard time praying 5 minutes. it seems taxing. Well, train yourself, you know, discipline yourself like you would your muscles. Because again, when you learn to pray, and the more time and the more strategically you pray, that time will feel shorter and shorter.
Well, and what compels me to pray is stress and schedule. When a lot of times we pray through a whole month of activities. Well, that month is going to get caught up with your prayer life, you know, and eventually if you're now entering into days that you've not prayed over, you're going to be in trouble. And so I will find relief on my knees in prayer. When I'm stressed, I'm like, I got to go pray about all this stuff I'm stressed about. When I'm worried, I got to go pray about this. When I'm convicted of sin, I need to go pray about this and cast this onto the Lord. If something good happens, we need to handle praise and success very carefully, because it can rot our lives. It's an opportunity for us to get before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Every good thing I have is because of you. What a joy. We are so much more fulfilled through thanksgiving to God, reflecting the praise back to him, than if we soak it in ourselves, because it will rot us. We don't know how to handle glory that only belongs to the Lord. So whatever the issue is during the day, let it be constantly prompting you, whether it be in the silence of your own heart and mind. When in the middle of a conversation, you're talking to somebody and you might be saying, Lord, give me wisdom to know what to say to this person. Or, Lord, guard my eyes as I walk through this mall. You know, whatever it may be, that we're constantly interacting with the Lord, and prayer is, you know, we're praying without ceasing in a sense.
All right, a lot of your messaging and in your films and thematically have addressed men's and men's ministry. So just redirecting quickly here, I would be interested in knowing, I think our listeners would, what you think are the primary challenges facing men's groups today.
Well, men tend to want to fix things, and they tend to revert to their own logic first. And God certainly designed you with the goal of fixing things and accomplishing things, but that should always come secondary to seeking his guidance first. God knows the fastest route to accomplish things, and with his hand, you can accomplish them more effectively. And so seek him first. And so in your time, you will never, ever regret or make a mistake by seeking the Lord in more prayer, more specific strategic prayer. And so that's half the battle right there. And you have a very real enemy that stands against you, and you will have various opposing things that seem like hurdles. But again, prayer is a very effective tool and a powerful weapon to combat those things.
Jesus called men to be his disciples because he knew if you can reach the men, pastors learn this too, then you'll reach their wives and their kids. If a pastor aims his ministry and his sermons at women, he'll get the women, but he'll lose the men. If he'll aim them at men, if he'll use masculine illustrations, if he's talking about football and war and he's using warlike terms. I mean, read Ephesians. The Apostle Paul's using masculine terms to describe the spiritual battle that we're in. If you read 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy, he's using very masculine, be bold, be strong, you know, stand firm, you know, stand against the enemy. And he's calling men up to be spiritual leaders of their homes.
Not so, that it doesn't apply to
that's
women,
right. But if we'll reach the men will turn and begin to lead their wives and their kids and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And so calling men to prayer is a big priority. If you think of 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, first of all, it's a big priority, let there be prayers, petitions, supplications, thanksgivings be made for all men, for those that are in authority over you, because God wants all men to be saved. And then he says, I want men in every place lifting holy hands before the Lord in prayer without wrath or doubting. So he's specifically aiming at prayer, and he's connected to discipleship, to evangelism, and to men. And so I think if pastors can train their men how to pray, then they're going to turn around and start training their wives and their kids in a lot of ways. You see that flow of leadership that's there. I'm grateful that our pastor every Sunday morning has about 40 men that show up early at 7:45. They meet with him in our worship center. He says, here's what I'm praying about. Here's what my family's battling with. Here's what I'm burdened about. Here's what I'm struggling with. And those men will pray over him. They'll pray over the altar. They'll pray over the baptistry. They'll pray over the seats that are in the room, and they'll ask God to show up in power. And we see the results and the fruit of that every week because those men are stepping up in prayer.
All right. One last question. You guys, to me, you're the Ethan and Joel Cohen of your industry, of your genre. I mean, that's just the way that I've seen it. Director, actor, just all the different hats. So I would like to know, this is kind of off the script, what your favorite movies are moving forward. What are some of the influencers?
A lot of our favorite movies are older movies. We love It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. We love Swiss Family Robinson. We love A Man Called Peter, The Sound of Music.
Sergeant York.
Oh, man, great movie. A lot of our favorite movies are old. We do like some new movies. I enjoyed watching McFarlane the other day.
Yep.
Which is based on a true story, very inspirational story. I like when movies leave me with not just a little bit of eye candy, but they leave me with something that's redeeming and something I can talk to my kids about later.
Chariots of Fire is an incredible movie, one of the greatest movies ever made. The Hiding Place, and that old Billy Graham movie, is a great movie. The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance,
yep,
is a good patriotic, courageous movie, teaches moral values. We talked about, you know, the Follow Me Boys movie. That's an old Walt Disney movie. It talks about the seasons of a life and investing in the next generation. That's,
I'll tell you what,
movie.
This is how you can win points, men, with your wife. You go watch Emma, Pride
and Sense and Sensibility.
Sense and Sensibility and Pride
Jane
and Prejudice.
Yeah, yeah.
And you learn to appreciate those because they're thinking movies as well, and your wife will appreciate it.
Jane Austen wins. She does.
They're remaking Ben-Hur right now. I hope and pray it's done very well. Can't wait to see that one. There's a movie called Risen coming out in January, mm-hmm, about one of the Roman guards who was guarding the tomb when Jesus arose. Can't wait to see that one.
Joseph Fiennes is in that.
So looking forward to see a number of movies that are coming out. You know, we look forward to seeing the final. We saw a rough cut of Woodlawn. Look forward, yep, to seeing that one as well. But again, War Room coming out. We hope that it makes a massive impact in culture, that inspires people to pray, and that people visually see the need for fighting in prayer.
Why don't you tell the listeners what we have available that can engage the movie on the resource side, the Bible study side for groups?
A lot of good stuff. Working with Lifeway, there are three curriculums. One is called the War Room Bible Study. It's got five movie clips from War Room in it. It goes through various topics. It'd be great for a small group to go through together or a pastor to preach, kind of introduce the topics. It deals with lukewarmness. It deals with accountability. It's kind of overarching. Then after you see the movie, I would challenge you to use the Battle Plan for Prayer Bible Study that Lifeway has developed, and there's video clips in there of different prayer leaders. Alex and I got to be a part of that, and it's more intensive prayer training. It talks about being devoted to prayer. It talks about getting, what does it mean to get your heart right, praying strategically. How do you pray for lost people? How do you pray for believers? And so there's a student version of that, would be the third one, the student version of Battle Plan for Prayer. And then there's books. Peter's Perfect Prayer Place for preschoolers to introduce prayer to kids, that God answers prayer. There's one called Prayer Works with Amy Parker. Great book on, it's really a devotional for elementary school kids. There's one called This Means War with Troy Schmidt, a youth ministry prayer journal, prayer training book. And then Alex and I wrote the Battle Plan for Prayer book, which is from basic training all the way to targeted strategies in the back of the book. It's for men and women, we would really encourage people, kind of like the Resolution for Men, the Resolution for Women, that they use the Battle Plan for Prayer to train their family, their church, you know, in prayer. I've been going through it chapter at a time with my kids. That's been exciting because my kids now, even elementary school kids, are praying now biblically and strategically with faith, and now we're writing down those prayer requests. We're seeing how the Lord's working. And then Priscilla Shire, she wrote Fervent, her newest book, one of the best books she's probably ever written. Alex and I were captivated checking out, just reading through that book. She's an amazing godly Bible teacher, and that's a book to help women pray strategically, specifically.
The word on the street is that Priscilla's really strong in War Room.
Yes. Oh, she's incredible.
And yep, there's a cameo by
Beth Moore.
Yeah, Beth Moore is her first time in front of a movie camera, and she did pretty good.
Yeah.
She's,
we said, play yourself.
Yeah, she's just in a couple of scenes, but enjoyed working with her, and it's fun. Funny to see Beth Moore nervous, because she's not that nervous. And so when we're about to roll and she's looking around at all these cast and crew around her and big film cameras and everything, it was funny to see her get a little nervous. But she did a fine job. But again, Priscilla Shire, amazing in this movie.
Yes.
You forget you're watching Priscilla and you get involved with her character.
You know, if you're familiar with Priscilla at all, that is not surprising. I mean, I didn't know that was going, that was happening, you know, 2 years ago, but when I heard about it, I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
She has a dynamic personality, loves the Lord, great heritage.
Just really comes alive. Well, Alex, Stephen, I know you've got to get out of here. Appreciate you being with the Groups Matter podcast, and hope we can do it again. And best luck to you. I mean, appreciate what you do and the contributions to the kingdom.
Thank you.
We just love working with you guys.
Sure.
wow, Brian, those guys are pretty incredible, aren't they? That had to be a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And, you know, it's hard to divvy up just and quantify respect and admiration because we work with so many great godly people that do so many great things and that God uses in such mighty ways. But there's something about Alex and Stephen that, with me, it's just really cool and special because, you know, they take that craft that doesn't work, that doesn't always work that well with faith-based films, and they're very successful at it. And like I said, I had heard, I had just picked up on pieces about how they go about planning their movies and that they begin with prayer and theme and then script around that. I just think, you know, a friend of mine says, well, it's a sermon that's a movie. And I guess it is, but it's still, I like all their movies. And I wasn't kidding when I said Flywheel is my favorite. It's not the best produced. It's not the best acted movie you're ever going to see. But there's just something about Jay Austin's story in Flywheel that I just really appreciate. So, yeah, it was a good time. What did you think about some of the things they had to say about prayer?
Well, I think that the most important thing for me that I heard in your interview with them was the fact that prayer can change the world. The other thing, when they talked about the great movements of God that began with prayer, that you can't just say, let's begin praying, let's watch the movie, let's have some prayer times, pray for God to do something. He talked about years. So when a group comes together and begins considering the importance of prayer, they need to remember that it's not just a let's pray one time. These guys were – one thing that was so impressive, Brian, as you were talking with them, was make a list and mark off when God is at work. I've got to believe that if small groups would begin doing just that, maybe after seeing the movie so that they're inspired to be more about prayer, that it would begin to make a huge difference in the lives of the group members, in the lives of the children of the group members, in the lives of the parents of the group members, and in the lives of people who don't yet know Christ that are in relationship with group members. Yeah, it was an incredible conversation. I'm intrigued to ask you a question. I'm intrigued for you to tell us, in your interactions with them, what was most inspiring about them? Not about their movie. As I listened in, I just heard so much substance in their conversation.
It reminds me of the first time that I met Lyman Coleman. And we were in Colorado, and I was with another guy that you and I both know, and Lyman. And I was sitting in this great big room, and there were just three chairs, and there was three of us. And it was the first time that I had met him. And hearing him and Ron talk was this obvious outpouring of just godliness. And I would say godly men because that's who I was with. But there is something about that aspect of those two guys that I just remember thinking, you know, what I'm hearing here is truth. They're not necessarily quoting actual text from the Bible, but it's everything that they're talking about is driven by biblical truth. And for Alex and Stephen, it's that same way. There's this natural outpouring of who they are. It's so evident to me that they mean everything that they say, that they live it, they walk it, that they're actually maybe to a degree scared to death not to be that way because they're in this desperate relationship with God that really we all need to be in, but we don't necessarily live it or have that posture. And like we heard in chapel earlier today, it was either Stephen or Alex, and he was talking about, you know, one of his prayers, and or I don't know, was it his prayers? But anyway, something that he had invited God into was, who do you want me to be? How do you want me? You know, how is my life? How can I be? How can I be better? How can I be a more effective disciple? And what he heard was, you need to watch what's on television and what movies you're watching. Alex, I remember he was in chat with said, and I'm a movie guy.
Yeah.
I gotta watch movies. But apparently they have cut out all television. He called it episodic television. So the serial versions of television, TV shows, cut out all that. And they went through and they threw out the movies that they owned and had anything that may be antithetical to who God is calling him to be. And that's not an act. And what I mean by that is not, I mean, obviously, he's not acting. That's not just a decision. That's an identity. And so, in my conversation dialogue with them, and just listening to Stephen, I mean, and Alex too, just everything they have to say is just come straight from the heart, and it comes from a heart that's convicted.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not surprising that they felt led to do a movie on prayer because they're striving to live holy lives. The outcome of holiness is, or maybe the outcome of prayer is holiness, but the outcome of holiness is also prayer. And so when you were speaking with them, I was just listening to two guys who had truly been discipled. I mean, they're quoting passages off the top of their head, I think. They didn't have a Bible with them, did they? They're quoting passages off the top of their head. They're talking about their real journey with the Lord, about praying before the day begins on the set, having a Bible study on set. I mean, these guys are the real deal.
In a future episode, we're going to talk about how you can incorporate prayer into your groups, and I think it's a blog that you've identified. And one of the things that we are going to talk about in that episode are the lack of options for making prayer more a part of your life. And it's not just an event, but it's a way of life. And so Stephen and Alex both threw out a lot of ways that churches and groups can do that. So I thought that was really helpful. But beyond that, I think if you're looking for a starter, your group, these war room resources that we've developed, this is a good way, because you have to prayer begins with the discipline of it. And like Stephen was saying, it asks something of you. It demands something of you. And so if you've got competing interests and you know that you've got these five other things to do, sometimes prayer is the thing that takes the back seat. Sometimes it takes that intentionality. These resources that we're creating are intended to just do that. They fan that flame that hopefully the movie begins, and I believe the movie will begin it. And that's a good way that groups can incorporate this posture of prayer that you and I have talked about on the show before and will again.
Well, you know, a lot of times, Brian, a group leader or a small group or a group ministry needs something to inspire them to pray more. And I was inspired as I listened to your interview with them, but I will also be inspired when I see the movie. You know, I would suggest to every small group pastor and every education minister listening, if their groups are hesitant or not strong in prayer, inspire them first by taking them to see the film. I don't know if it's possible or not, but maybe we can find out and let the listener know if it's possible to rent the film to show at your church and let your entire church see that film.
Rick, I don't know about that, but I do know that you can get the answer to that question and other ones by going to lifeway.com/war room, or you can go to warroommovieresources.com and see. Now, Stephen ran down that list pretty fast, but we've got all kinds of things, and you know, we talk about our Bible studies and our resources on the show. It's because we believe in them. It's because we put that same kind of preparation that Alex and Stephen put into their movies. We put that into what we do. We really believe that God is working through us in these resources. And just listening to Alex and Stephen and what they had to say, I would strongly recommend the War Room resources. My team is not the team that's on those, but the team that has done all of the Kendricks publishing on the Bible studies, and they are excellent. So that's one of the ways, as we look for ways to incorporate prayer into groups, I highly recommend checking that out.
Man, Brian, can't thank you enough for getting that interview. That's just incredible stuff, and that you could sit down and talk with them, that's pretty exciting.
It was a treat, that is for sure. I hope they didn't take offense to me comparing them to Ethan and Joel. I don't know. Lifeway.com, War Room, or warroommovieresources.com. Visit those, and let us know by Twitter what you find out. That's going to wrap it up for this special edition of the Groups Matter podcast. Thank you for being with us. Hope you'll join us again. And once again, we'd like to thank Alex and Stephen Kendrick for taking time of their busy day to talk to us about groups and ministry and their upcoming and the release of the War Room on August 28th. So we'll see you next week for our next installment of the Groups Matter podcast. We'll be right back.